Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome back. It's Action Movie Anatomy. We're back in the studio live to talk a little bit of Gerard Butler, or as we affectionately like to call him, Jerry B. It's Hunter Killer. Yeah, that's right. We're actually doing an episode on Hunter Killer. We'll see you guys in just a second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
Boom!
Oh, it's good to be back.
It's good to be back.
It's good to be back, babe. It's good to be back, babe.
What's up, everybody? That was a quick fade out on the song there now, but yeah, I'm here. We're energy. We're high. No, our energy's high.
I'm high. Energy's high. I know that like the live chat is just so excited for us to cover this. The moment we announced this being covered on the show, I think Paul wrote in the on Facebook like this is going to be an iconic classic episode.
Yeah, there was a lot.
You're right, babe.
There was a lot of posts in the group about this one here. So, guys, welcome to Action Movie Anatomy. We talk action movies on this show. Those action movies adhere to four basic rules. Rule number one, the hero always plays by their own rules. Absolutely does he play by his own rules.
I don't think Gerard Butler could be in another movie unless...
Do we have his name as a character written down? Because that's important that I know his character's name.
Oh, I was like, I mean, it's Gerard Butler. We know his name.
Jerry.
I don't think there's a movie anymore that he could be in. If you look at even his upcoming movies coming out, if Gerard Butler doesn't play by his rules in a movie anymore, it has to be like an Academy Award winning performance.
Like Machine Gun Preacher.
Just like Machine Gun Preacher.
He plays a character named Captain Joe Glass, and absolutely he plays by his own rules.
It's always good when their last name is something fragile, so that way you know he's actually hard on the inside.
He's got it. That's a great name, Joe Glass.
Joe Glass is good.
Yeah, rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest people, beings, things, dinosaurs, what have you, in the room. I mean, so weirdly enough, he is definitely the smartest guy in the room. I think Nyquist is the other smartest guy in the room, but he's not really the villain.
I don't even know who the bad guy is in this movie.
It's that weird... It's the Gollum-looking
guy? Yeah, the Gollum-looking creature.
Yeah.
Gollum. You know he was going to die. That guy, if he's ever in a movie, is going to die.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got him. They got him from the cast of No Name Rejects who look like they're foreign.
Yeah, I've seen... What was he
But probably
recently?
Is in like a Burger King commercial or something.
He was like something super creepy in a movie recently. But yeah, I think it's him and Nyquist, like, hands down. The other guy is just, like, a placeholder.
Who's the other guy?
The Gollum guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Him and Nyquist. Yeah. Did I forget a character?
Do we even
in this
know
film?
What we're covering this week?
I'm going to be honest with you guys. We drank a lot during this film.
Well, is there any way not to? It's way longer than it should be.
Yeah.
It's not a good movie. It's not a good film.
Well,
no,
let's
no, no, let's. Did we enjoy it?
100%.
Absolutely.
Let's save our judgment here. Rule number three, the movie is driven by a police, military, political, or mercenary figure. He's definitely military.
Yes.
Captain Joe Glass.
I mean, he's a captain.
He commands a submarine. And rule number four, the movie contains a minimum of one explosion. Lots of explosions. They probably spent a third of the budget on explosions in this movie.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, you have to in movies like this because these movies, they really kind of... despite how many times you and I have talked about this, the moments in between the action, they really rely on the action.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also this is, I mean, like, this movie fits the bill of the old school action movies where they weren't franchised, they weren't tentpoles.
Right.
It's like, we're going to make a submarine movie, and none of these people have intellectual property that you recognize. You're just going to have to get to like them in the movie.
But they're all famous enough.
Yeah.
You got Oldman, you got Butler, you're going to throw in Common for the young kids.
Throw in Common.
We got torpedoes in the water, sir.
Yeah.
Like, what?
At that depth, you need a hunter killer, sir.
Why? Tell us why.
Yeah. He had a standout performance that we'll talk about in just a bit. So, guys, coming up today on Action Movie Anatomy, we're going to be talking about the top five Gerard Butler movie titles. We're going to be ranking our five favorites. Movies themselves aside, just looking at a list of films, if you knew that Jerry B. was the actor and you knew that these movies existed only from their titles, which five would you be most intrigued to watch based solely on their titles and the involvement of Jerry B.? We'll be doing that game a little bit later. Answering some of your AMA questions, fist pump thesis, all the fun things that you've come to know and love on Action Movie Anatomy. Quick shout out to our new patrons. It is November 1st today, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's why we did our Halloween movie the previous week, because we felt like it'd be wrong to do it the day after.
Yes, Halloween's over. But
yes, I know.
But we wanted to give a quick shout out to two brand new patrons, Zachary Johnson and Dennis Gretzky. We salute you. Visit patreon.com/teamaction if you guys want exclusive extra content that we do every single week. Without further ado, I'd say we get into thesis statement. No, we should watch the trailer.
Yeah, we should watch the sweet trailer. It's a really good trailer.
It's the best part of the whole episode right here.
Yes. Well, I just remember how excited we were when we saw this trailer come out. We were like, we're doing this on the show. Missing just above the Colton Peninsula. What's the runtime on this movie? Like 220? Something ridiculous like that? 6 feet, you
want to hunt to kill him. It's over 2 hours.
We've been ordered to cross waters that no American sub has ever crossed before.
That's the line right there. I was sold.
No American sub has crossed before.
Hoorah! Now lean back. Oh yeah, this is taking
The lean back is so awesome, because you know it's just like, all right, guys, I'll lean back now.
This is taken right back to Sunday night in the theater when we watched this film. To that wonderful... Oh, that guy! The president, the Russian president.
Yeah.
I forgot that he was in the movie.
Killed.
It's a coup.
Yeah.
We're dealing with a single rogue
Spoiler
minister.
Alert!
What if we could free President Zakharin?
We rescue the Russian president.
Wait, does he get killed or they save him? On the ground. They execute his aides.
Right. Yeah.
They save him.
I don't know.
You blacked out.
We both did. Could you answer definitively?
If he died or not?
Like, if it was, like, a gun to your head.
Schmodown question.
Whole family.
This is for the championship. This would be the question right here.
Yeah.
I win a belt or I lose a belt based on did the president die or not in Hunter Killer?
Does the Russian president die or not in Hunter Killer? You saw this 3 days ago. 4 days ago. All right, I'm going to need to use a lifeline. So you can testify.
He must survive. He survives. He survives.
Look, chat out there, if you know, because we can't remember, they save him. Fuck! Damn it!
I was right.
This is ridiculous.
Did we just start a war?
No.
I'm sorry, babe. We sailed into a war.
I'm fucking thirsty.
Oh, the sniper? What was his name? Like Melnin or Melner?
That plot line was
the best.
That plot line is the easiest one to pass out and wake back up and not realize you've missed.
Hunter Killer.
I mean, guys, if you're not sold on the
intrigued
movie,
and wanting to see the film at this point, then I don't know what you're doing wrong with your life. Let's get into the next part of the show. We do this thing called thesis statements, your biggest, boldest thought about the film. It is the thing you believe the most that you want to share about this movie. If you brought it up at a party, you would say this, and you'd defend it till you were blue in the face. I'm going to jump in first with a very familiar one.
I've got a great one. What's yours?
I wonder if it's the same as mine.
No, it's not.
Gerard Butler is the closest thing to a classic 80s action star that we have today. He is...
Yeah!
He is the closest thing that exists to a 1980s action star that we have making movies today.
I mean, we have a segment on the show today.
Yeah.
Basically laughing at the five most ridiculous movie titles. That is a staple in being a ridiculous 80s and 90s action star. Like, go to Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Chuck Norris, Bruce Lee's are actually way better. But go to those first three and look at all, or Charles Bronson, look at all of the movie titles.
If you look at, like, the movies that that Seagal made, his movie titles are just the best. Like, Above the Law, On Deadly Ground, The Glimmer Man, Out for Justice, Marked for Death.
Under Siege was, like, the best one.
Under Siege, yeah, that's like that feels more legit. But all the rest of them, they're all, like, three words. They all have, like, death, law.
Yeah, I'm going to pull them up right now.
Like,
I think that's really great. Actually, we don't need to pull it up. We already know. We've already seen them all. Yeah. Okay. So that's, like, pretty open and closed.
We've talked about it a little bit. That's, like, that's a concept that we've kind of visited. And just watching this film, it was just like, nobody else really gets to make Den of Thieves and this movie and Gamer and, like, just... Generally, like, Olympus Has Fallen was the same thing. He just was a little bit more famous at that moment.
Well, because if Gerard Butler was cast in the next Taylor Sheridan movie as, like, a grizzled sheriff,
yeah,
it would be fucking awesome.
Yeah,
you'd be 100% in, and he'd probably give a great performance. He's still my point behind this is that he's still kind of an A-list actor.
Right, he's good enough. Yeah,
and, like, in this movie, he has great dramatic moments. Honestly, that speech is pretty sweet. The first time. and then he takes all these weird movie roles. But it's so weird because it actually hasn't taken him down to B stardom in my mind.
Right.
Even though all of his movies are.
He's a weird one. I would almost argue that Gerard Butler is B-list.
Right.
Almost.
And I don't disagree with you in saying it, because he like pretty much is. But that's why I say if he popped into a Tarantino or Sheridan or Villeneuve movie, you'd be like, huh, cool.
Right.
I'm stoked.
Somebody wanted to give, and one thing I will say about Butler is that I think he's terrific to work with, from what I understand.
I've heard that he's like the coolest dude.
He's like, and I, when I met him, I really liked him. I thought he was great. He gave me a great interview, and I thought he just like his energy was awesome.
Did you say he talked to everyone?
Everybody.
He was late to the movie to talk to everyone on the carpet. And guys, you don't know this, and I didn't know this until a couple of years ago when I started doing red carpets. That's not a thing.
No.
It, like, A-listers, B-listers, even C-listers almost never do that. If they have somewhere to be or the carpet's too long or the movie starts, they're like, fuck it, I'm out of here. This is your problem. You're at the end of the line, not me. I'm at the front of the line.
Speaking generally, if you get brought in, you're a big star, you show up in these carpets, you'll talk to the first maybe, I don't know, like 4 to 6 outlets.
Which is going
to
be like E! Entertainment, you know.
Yeah, Entertainment Tonight, Access, yeah. Like, you know, the big ones, maybe Fox, somebody like that. Yep, there's a local Fox station. And then everyone else down the back half of the line, the back 80% of the line, most stars will just walk past. And sometimes, you know, because they like to show up, the movie stars like to show up pretty late to the carpet. Like, let's say call time for the carpet 6:30.
Yeah.
Like, Charlize will show up at, like, 7:20.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And there's, like, there's no one there.
There's 10 minutes left. Yep. She'll talk, you know, so she gets down. So anyway, but the point is, Butler showed up to this movie, to the carpet that I did. If it was actually for Geostorm. And a terrific film.
It's a very good movie.
And he talked to literally every reporter. I remember him looking down, and he was talking to the last reporter, and he looked over at his publisher and said, I'm missing my own premiere here. But like, he wasn't going to not talk to us because he knows how important it is to have good press when he makes the kind of movies that he makes.
Well, because he's also the type of dude that he came in acting late. You know, he probably worked his ass off for a really long time doing a lot of things. He knows how hard it is to get even on those red carpets, being at the end of the line. Imagine being at the front of the line where you get every interview all the time. So I love that. I think that's one of my favorite stories you've ever told me about Jerry B. Alex McFarland is saying in the chat, he goes, did everyone see the thirsty GB tweets?
Yeah. Isn't Alex a girl? Am I wrong about this? Alex McFarland?
Did I say guy again? I'm so sorry, Alex.
Yes. We have established this by making a mistake publicly.
I know, and I just wanted you to make fun of me again. Alex, the female, McFarland, has said, so do you know about these?
What? Sorry, I was paying attention to the wrong thing.
So she says that, did everyone see the thirsty GB tweets? And I said, what tweets? I need to know. And she goes, oh my God.
I heard Gerard Butler reads the internet's thirstiest tweets. I saw somebody share this in the group, and I didn't watch it.
I didn't either. Oh, so they're all saying, okay, yeah, we missed the trailer for this. We should have done that instead of the trailer.
Yeah, we'll cue it up in a second. We'll just watch it on the show, because why the fuck not?
Yeah, we'll be able to find it. Mercy, could you try to find that if that's possible? Gerard Butler thirsty tweets, and maybe we'll see if we can pull it up.
Gerard Butler reads the internet's thirstiest tweets.
Yeah, there we go. And then I will talk about my thesis statement, which
please.
I've like forgotten at this point. Yeah, I know, Alex. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so glad that Ben corrected me. I knew something was wrong. Can we just stop the show?
You look warm. You look like you're sweating.
I actually feel like if this was 2 years ago, I'd be furiously sweating.
You would be drenched.
I would be drenched in sweat. I'd be so upset that you called me out. I'd be like very uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to talk about anything anymore.
Can we cue the Edge of Tomorrow episode, please?
Okay, so it looks like she's got it queued up here, so I'm going to say mine really quickly. And it's just short, simple, and sweet. Common is the reason this movie wasn't released 2 years ago, period.
Wow.
That's it.
Drop the pen.
Drop the pen. Pick it up. Common is so bad in this. Gerard Butler's still relevant. Nyquist is at the top of his game 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And 2.5. And Gary Oldman is Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Common is the reason this movie never got released. He is so atrociously bad that you needed Gary Oldman to win an Oscar, Gerard Butler to have 6 months without a movie coming out, and Nyquist to die in order for this movie to get released.
Yeah, what is Cardellini's biggest thing she's done? She's like kind of a movie star.
She got famous from ER.
ER, right? Yeah. And she was in Bloodline. She was good in that. She was in Daddy's Home. She's the wife.
Yep.
She's kind of like a poor woman's Rose Byrne in some ways.
Okay, there you go. That's fair. But even she is better than he is in this movie. Like exponentially better than he is.
The script for this movie is not very good.
It's horrid.
And I gotta say the beats they take. They're kind of confusing. Like, why? Like, first of all, I know why.
First of all, why anything?
Why, I know why you cast Common. I know.
Oh, because
Common's famous. And at this point, Common had just come off of Selma.
And how many black people are in this movie?
He's the only one, maybe?
Exactly. And he's the only person that appeals to a younger, different demographic.
Yeah, it's fair. But, like, and I've seen Common be pretty decent. He's, not a bad actor.
Marissa Serafini in the booth.
Yeah.
She was just saying, I need to watch Megan Levy?
Megan Levy.
Yeah,
Megan Levy.
He's apparently very good in that.
He's, like, generally pretty good. I liked him in John Wick 2.
I liked him in Smokin' Aces. Well, so this is why I was, like, I asked you really quickly, because doesn't he not really talk at all in John Wick 2? He just has sweet action scenes and cool looks.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I like him for that. And I think he's actually pretty good in Smoking Aces, but that's because he can talk like this.
Another guy, I interviewed him 3 weeks ago or a month ago, and I really liked him. Another guy that I was just like, you're pretty great. Like, cool, man. Nice to meet you. And like, I can't believe how bad he is in this movie.
Yeah, and like, in what world? And again, I know you're trying to break the barriers and the norms, but like, no world ever in America is a black, like, 30-something-year-old dude going to be an admiral. Captain? Maybe.
Yeah.
Lieutenant? First lieutenant? Maybe even a general.
It's a backwards-ass military.
It's like, so weird.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, that's one of those things where you look at casting and you know that there's a certain amount of, this is going to be a big action movie, so we want...
You have to hit these buttons, essentially.
Yeah, and also, like, we want to put people in these roles who are just, like, the people we want to cast. So they're like, that's fine. Common can be this guy. He has backstory. Like, you know what I mean? They can rationalize it. They can write his backstory.
Right.
He's X, Y, or Z guy, and that's why he's this guy in this position. But, I mean, like... He's just not good in this. It's bizarre.
He's so bad in this. It hurts my soul.
It's like the way he delivers his lines where they're like...
Like the scene between him and Oldman might be the worst acting either of them have ever done in their lives.
They make each other worse. Oldman's like... He's like, what kind of submarine do we need at that depth? And Common's like, sir, at that depth we need to hunt a killer. And you're...
and he's like...
You're like, is this an SNL sketch?
Yeah, and then what does he say when he's like, yeah, but who on earth could man such a ship? And that's Gary Oldman for all of you at home.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I found a guy who didn't go to Annapolis. And then it just cuts to Gerard in the mountains.
With a rifle.
Yeah.
And he's going to
it's a bow, isn't it? Is it a bow and arrow?
Is it?
I think it's ridiculous. But whatever it is he is out there to hunt, and he doesn't kill a buck because it has a family. First of all, every deer has a family.
I just forgot. This is how drunk we were. I wrote notes and forgot they exist till right now.
Oh, no, I did too. I wrote a bunch of notes because you and I were like, we need to take very good notes because we've been drinking a lot. I have more notes on this. There's this one. I go, I want this baby so quiet. Official bumping door. Yeah. And then I wrote, you know, a line like that was coming at some point. That's just like, what I wrote.
Looks like I stopped taking notes after about 35 minutes. But here's my, you guys want to know my string of notes? Here you go. Ready? First note, yeah. Kind of bad CGI. Second note, Common, ... Oh man. Third note, great setup, ... Who the hell is this guy? He answers his phone, glass. Yeah, anyway, whatever. I've also got the line in here, Weps with the glasses, because there's like a seaman named Weps who has the big glasses.
Yeah, and they tell him to put the glasses back on at
one
point. And
that's a classic submarine movie deal. Just the fact that he's named Weps, he's some random seaman and he has huge glasses.
That like fog up and stuff?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Incredible. So good. Yeah, we're going to have to get through more of the notes. Let's cue this up, Marissa.
I hope you guys have all watched this movie, because you never will otherwise.
Always makes me jizz a little bit. The woman jizz? I had no idea.
I love him.
Hi, I'm Jared Butler, and Jared. I'm going to be reading Thirst Tweets.
Jared.
I want Jared Butler to lick cherry-flavored Jell-O off my finger. Why is life so unfair? Hey, don't give up. Life's not over yet. Might still happen. I want to buy a condo in Gerard Butler's chest hair. Who is currently sleeping with Gerard Butler? They're lucky. It's nice chest hair. Gods of Egypt. So you're the one. I heard somebody saw that. The condos are for sale. Just get in touch with my agent, and I'm sure we
can... So you're the one. I knew someone saw that.
I'll be in touch. I really don't have celebrity crushes, but I would lick the beard off of Gerard Butler's face, so... okay.
He looks like he drinks a lot.
I know.
Gerard Butler
he's sober.
Punch me in the face, and I would still say, thanks, Daddy. Is this my kid? I would climb Gerard Butler like a tree... and never let go. Sounds like most of my ex-girlfriends. Jerry can spit on me anytime. Yeah, I know this person. That's why. Anytime again, it says. Yeah, I will. I will. That's good. So,
I think my favorite thing is his name is Jared.
Am I supposed to eat them? Watching 300 and wondering how I could possibly have forgotten the majesty of Gerard Butler's thighs.
Yeah, we can cut this down.
This is going a little long.
Get back into some 300 workouts.
Oh my God, Alex McFarland, that you just made my day.
Key.
I'm so happy we didn't watch that before, so we could watch it right now.
Yeah, that was lovely. That was literally.
That was really lovely.
Gerard Butler.
So that's the backup name now?
Jared.
If he's not Jerry B,
he's Jared.
Yeah.
Jared Butler.
People are like, who are you talking about? Yeah. Like, no big
deal.
Don't
you know his friends call him Jared?
It's Jared.
Yeah.
He likes to be spit on.
All right, guys, those are the thesis statements. We went way off topic.
We really did, guys. You can throw yours in the chat below. I really want to know what other, like, no one said anything in a while. I think they're all sucked into the thirsty tweets. Let us know what your thesis is in the chat below.
Next part of the show, guys, is fist pump moment. This is that moment something happens in the movie. You kind of look around. Are you seeing this right now? This is so awesome. I'm so into this. We want to share our fist pump moments.
Or you're drunk in the theater with your best buddy watching a Gerard Butler movie and something happens. You're like, I knew this was going to happen.
I knew it.
And I think for us, I mean, honestly, it was what we were just talking about. There was a couple of them, but it was the hero qualifier in the fact that this guy never even went to Annapolis. He didn't do this and he didn't do this, but he can do this.
But he can do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my fist bump moment was the speech.
Wait, I didn't finish.
Oh, please, go ahead.
It's when he cuts to him and he's out there hunting and he doesn't shoot the deer.
Yeah.
Because he's such a good man.
Because he's sympathetic.
You know he's a good man. He's a hunter that goes out to display his sympathetic tendencies by not hunting.
Right. He's a hunter that goes out. He's a hunter-killer, if you will.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But he's not a killer.
No, he's not. And he knows how to make evasive maneuvers out of the norm. Like taking the submarine all the way to the seafloor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or going too close to the rocks.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's just dangerous moves that are unconventional.
Isn't that like the only, like there's three things you can do in a submarine is like go too low, go too close, or like turn quickly?
Yeah, probably.
Three evasive maneuvers.
Turn off the radar.
Yeah, no.
It does.
Nobody make a sound.
Okay, my fist bump moment's got to be the speech. Because we knew the speech was coming because we had seen in the trailer, we're being asked to cross waters that no American submarine has ever crossed.
Right.
And you kind of knew that was coming. That was going to be his big moment. And I have to say that was my favorite Gerard Butler delivery in this film. I thought that it was a well-written speech. Like, you know, especially like you and I talk about this a lot. We've seen so many of these movies. So you think about how would you write it? You know, like what would your choice be to differentiate your moment? Because like those beats that you have to hit in an action movie especially, they're pretty predictable. You need the hero qualifier speech.
You need that.
You need his big dramatic moment.
Like
you
probably, taking control of the crew speech.
Yeah, you need like the dramatic ending moment. You need like all that shit.
Yeah.
Like that's all important. And so when you hit those beats, you know, inevitably you're going to hit four or five of the predictable ones. You have to make sure you do something to make it feel different. This is one of the reasons that you and I talk about, we've talked about this before, how like when you watch action movies very often, there's things that feel like, why did they do that? And it's like, they did it because it's a cool thing that no one else has done. Like I've told you this before, that in Contraband, that movie with Mark Wahlberg, there's the moment where Diego Luna is like trying to rob an armored car. And he's like, we're going to take this armored car. And he's like wrapping his head in duct tape like this. And you're like, why are you doing that?
That is going to be so painful to take off.
Just wear a mask. But like, it's a cool thing that he gets to do that no one has.
It's cheaper than duct tape.
He hasn't seen it in a movie before.
Exactly.
So he's like, I'm going to do this.
Yep, exactly.
Right? And so that's kind of a little bit like with the speech. I was like, how are they going to make this speech feel not like all the speeches in the submarine movies? And I like that he says, you probably think I'm this guy. I've done all your jobs.
I've scrubbed
the deck. I've been the cook. I am you.
Yes. And Richard, you know, Jarvie, of course, also great Halloween costume.
Yeah,
That is his as well, and it's because of that. It's because of that exact reason why, is because that is that moment. You and I both looked at each other and were like, fuck yeah, this is sweet. And then, like, I also wrote in my phone, you know, biggest candidate to be the repeat of the Bill Pullman speech in Hunter Killer 2.
Yes.
Is because the speech was so good, but then since it's Hunter Killer, they went and did it like 30 minutes later again.
Did they do another one?
They did another speech in the movie. Like, he gave another long speech.
Because he's like, now we're going to go to battle or something?
Yeah, it just wasn't as good as the first one. But the first one was really great, and I really loved it.
They shot two versions of the first speech, and they were so much better than the rest of the movie, they just spliced one of the takes into the second one.
Right, right.
They won't notice.
Did you say the same things again? Did you say you scrub the deck again? Yeah, so that is... Those are our fist pumps,
very
I
good.
Believe. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a fair place to start. Let's get into career profiles. So
it was a tough one because, you know, I think Oldman is billed higher.
Definitely.
But Nyquist was much more interesting.
I think Common was much more interesting. you know, Oldman is the guy. So you mentioned that, you know, this movie was shot. There's a couple things to talk about. So I think probably let's start with Nyquist rather than Butler, because we can segue Butler into our other segment.
Yeah, perfect.
So Michael Nyquist, some of you guys probably recognize as his two very significant roles. He's the villain in Mission Impossible 4.
The Baba Yaga.
And he is the villain in John Wick 1.
Yep.
Both which
fucking
are...
Fucking John Wick.
They're a few years apart from each other. And Michael Nyquist, rest in peace, passed away in 2016.
Yep.
Unexpectedly. He was 56 years old. He was a guy who had been successful overseas and started to break through in America in those movies we talked about. And this, he filmed this, obviously, at least in 2016.
At least.
Probably sometime in 2015 or 16 is when he filmed this.
I would think 15, yeah.
Unless he filmed it right before he passed. And they obviously had to hold this movie for a while. And so it's interesting what you say. It's like, that's kind of how this shit works sometimes, is movies will get shelved and they'll wait to release them until there's some relevant thing about the movie.
Like The Drop. The Drop was another great example of Gandolfini being dead
right,
already.
Posthumously,
and,
right?
And it was like Hardy was getting bigger and something else had happened. And it was like, let's release The Drop.
There was a movie called Collision that came out a few years ago. It was like 2 or 3 years ago. And I remember it had like a pretty big cast that had like Felicity Jones and it had like Nicholas Holt.
I don't
and
know why Felicity Jones. She's like going to be one of my schmodown
you can't remember
kryptonite.
Who she is.
I just, because her name seems like she should be famous in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, and then like her look seems like she should have a different name. But then I don't really know how to explain it. It's just one of those names that just doesn't stick with me for some reason, even though I really like her.
It was called Collide, right? So this movie came out in 2016, and it starred Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones,
Wait,
Anthony.
Wait, we've 100% done Die Hard on the show. Someone's freaking out about what we should do for a Christmas episode.
Yeah, we did Die Hard.
We've done
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Like
yeah.
3 years, 2-3 years ago. Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, Anthony Hopkins, Ben Kingsley. This was like this big movie, and I remember it had been held for a long time. And it obviously came out when it came out, because at that point, the year before, Nicholas Holt had been in Fury Road.
Right.
Felicity
right.
Jones had just been in Rogue One,
yep.
where it was about to come out. So, like, this happens sometimes. But this movie obviously was held. And Oldman, I mean, prior to Oldman winning the Oscar, he was a little bit of a... He had reached a point in his career where he was doing movies like Criminal.
Yeah, you know? Well, so Gary Oldman is a really interesting guy, right? Because, as you're saying, if it wasn't for the Dark Knight trilogy in there, and then Darkest Hour, his last decade has been kind of hit and miss a lot, actually. So if we go there and we talk about his movies, you know, you've got, excuse me, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy was 2011. That seems like kind of a good place to start, because that was like in the middle of the Dark Knights.
And that's his
out.
First and only Oscar nomination prior to Darkest Hour, I believe.
Really? That's crazy. So, okay, right.
Maybe I'm
excuse
wrong
me.
About
so
that.
He was in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and then he did Lawless.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus,
yeah,
what
right.
is wrong with me? And then he did Guns, Girls, and Gambling. I like Lawless a lot. I actually think we could do it on the show. So he goes Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, Lawless, Dark Knight Rises. Then he does Guns, Girls, and Gambling. He does Paranoia, RoboCop, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Child 44, Man Down, Criminal, The Space Between Us, The Hitman's Bodyguard, Tau, and Hunter Killer, obviously with Darkest Hour being thrown in there. They're all pretty bad movies.
Like, on the whole, yeah. He's got a couple in there that are sweet, right?
Yes.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is good.
Child 44, Man Down, Criminal, Space Between Us.
Yeah, all like, pretty irrelevant. And yeah. he's a guy, I mean, Oldman is a guy where you know that he's taking roles based on material in most cases, which is why if you take out the Batman films, you can see that there's a much more consistent trajectory of the kind of roles he takes, because he's a guy that was in a ton of stuff in the 90s and established himself as one of these like true incredible talent method type of guys.
Yeah, he's like one of the great character actors ever.
And so that's why Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, but it's kind of crazy that guy hadn't gotten an Oscar nomination until 2011.
Is that true? So
yeah.
You looked that up.
Yep.
That is unbelievable.
His first one was Tinker Tailor.
That doesn't seem right. He's done so many great things before.
I mean, so many. I mean, everything from Immortal Beloved to State of Grace to The Professional, like...
Oh, yeah, he's so good. The fact that he didn't... The Professional performance now would never not get a supporting Oscar nod.
Yeah, 100%.
Never.
100%.
So then you look at Gerard, on the other hand. Geostorm in 2017, Den of Thieves in 2018, and Keepers in 2018, surrounded by a bevy of other ridiculous films.
We probably should have done Geostorm on the show, really.
I like Geostorm.
I didn't see it.
Okay, Right. I thought that you hadn't seen it, but then I was like, I must be thinking this wrong because you went to the premiere, but then what happened?
But I didn't go into the screening. I had just gotten, I got off an airplane. I got off an airplane at 4:30. I had to be on the carpet at 6:30. I went straight from the airport.
Right.
And then I just went home. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. Okay, really quickly, since we have a bit of time, Belford, this will be one of our AMA questions. Is Oldman the most under-sieged actor of all time?
I mean, pretty fucking close. I mean, I would say now the answer is no.
Because he won the Oscar.
And because now there's a general consensus that, like, between Commissioner Gordon and winning the Oscar, his last 10 years has kind of legitimized him to, as, in people's minds, as, like, one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
But if you took him after Batman Begins, if you took him in 2007, he played played Commissioner Gordon in a pretty successful Batman movie, but not by any means at the time, like... Like, Dark Knight elevated the franchise so far beyond.
Yes.
Batman Begins was a very above-average movie in most people's minds.
Well, come on, man. It was really good.
Yeah, I mean, very above-average. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, like, a great, but not like Dark Knight was a great movie. Like, in 07, if you had looked at Gary Oldman's career, I think most people would have been like, this guy's so talented. How does he not have an Oscar nomination?
Yes.
How is he not a household name?
The fact that he didn't have an Oscar nomination is a travesty. That is not okay.
So the last 10 years... Dark Knight through today has legitimized him because two Batman sequels that everyone watched, plus Darkest Hour, you know, you throw in some of these other movies you talked about, and I think that's...
Yeah, I do believe he should have more than one Oscar. It does seem absolutely crazy. So, that being said, we got Gerard Butler, Keepers, Den of Thieves, and Geostorm, which is going to lead into our very fun segment of... You want to intro this?
I don't know what the fuck we're calling it.
I don't either.
Sweetest Gerard Butler movie names?
That's good enough for me.
So, guys, the game is this. In case you are you okay?
I don't know what's going on with me.
Yeah.
I feel like I really need to... I'm going to do this. So I'm not on camera. I'm just going to really clear my throat.
Okay, you got it. I'll introduce the game. So the deal is, guys, that if you were to look at Gerard Butler and you were to establish just how thirsty you are for Gerard, for Jerry B, and you knew that he was great, like just the best... And now you had to go through his filmography and pick the five movies that you think, based on their titles, would be most interesting to you. And you knew nothing about the movies. What five movies would you pick?
We need to accept them in his voice, by the way.
So, really, really, I would love to play Frankie in Dear Frankie. Yeah, really.
You
2,000 theaters it's going to be released in. I'll be there. Dear Frankie. I'm Frank.
Dear Frankie.
That's my number one.
Really? Chasing Mavericks, you say, is the name of the film? Oh, I've been waiting to read a script like this for some time. I'm a bit of a Maverick myself. I don't know if you know this about me. But I actually just came off of another film where I played a great warrior in Coriolanus.
Wait, what?
Can you say the name of the film again, please?
Yeah, Coriolanus.
No, I missed it, Jared, one more time. Coriolanus.
Terrific, terrific. Thank you. I'm glad you're on board to do the film.
This is wonderful. What do you have next?
I've done a pretty hefty number of actioners, as they call them in America. I grew up watching romantic films, and I don't know much about it. I haven't read the script yet, but I think this film, it's called P.S. I Love You.
Oh, right. This is the thing you can throw on the bottom of a letter in case you forgot to write something else.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what P.S. means, but but I love you.
You know, I remember the first time I fell in love, and it was actually in a cherry orchard, which is why I've decided to take the film... The Cherry Orchard.
He did a movie called The Cherry Orchard? You picked some good ones.
I have no idea what it's about. Oh, my last one is the best. It's the best.
Marissa, have you turned our mics off yet?
She left.
Oh, she's gone.
She left.
She's tuned out of the show.
The next film in my canon is a film. It's called Law Abiding Citizen. Because the character I'm playing is actually not a law-abiding citizen.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh.
Highbrow, Gerard. Jared.
I'll be in the film with several Oscar winners, including Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx. Oh, God.
I'm a huge fan of Jamie Foxx.
All right. I think it's time for Jared to kind of take a step back from the action. And I am going to be taking... a venture into family with Naya, Legend of the Golden Dolphin. Now, I'm not Naya, and I'm not a dolphin. He did a film called Naya, Legend of the Golden Dolphin.
I think it's coming out next year.
I'm impressed.
Oh, I'm sweating.
The next one, I feel, this must have something to do with the great gods. This film is called Olympus Has Fallen. I hope to not play Olympus again after Gods of Egypt, but I heard there's a chance Jamie Foxx would be attached to this one as well. So I'll take the role.
Wait, is he in both?
No, Jamie Foxx did White House Down.
Right.
I later was told Jamie Foxx left the project for White House Down with the much younger Channing Tatum.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I think we found our new greatest segment ever.
I have one left.
Oh, you do?
I have my favorite one left.
Oh, because you took my P.S. I Love You.
Oh, right. You've got one more. What do you got coming? This will be my magnum opus. For those of you that don't know what it means, neither do I.
Neither do I.
You can tell a lot. You can tell a lot about a man by the top-listed film in his filmography, though this film is not. It's called Machine Gun Preacher. Machine Gun Preacher. I'm sorry, babe. I've decided to take a film called Machine Gun Preacher.
Didn't read the script? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. I never read the script until I've taken the film.
Isn't he in, like, a preacher's outfit with a machine gun on the cover?
It's just... Yeah, and I think I read the premise. I just really quickly, before we move on, I'm going to read a couple of the premises of these films because they're wonderful.
Because now that we've introduced them, that might be my favorite segment we've ever done.
In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, addicted gang biker Sam Childers is released from prison and learns that his wife Lynn is no longer a stripper, but has converted to Christianity. Ooh. One night, Sam and his best friend Donnie give a ride to a hitchhiker who threatens Donnie with a pocket knife. However, Sam reacts and turns the tables on the stranger. Sam is affected by the incident and is convinced by Lynn and his mother Daisy to join their church, and he is baptized. Sam finds a straight job in construction. When he meets a preacher from Africa, he decides to visit the continent. Sam travels to northern Uganda and the South Sudan many times and builds an orphanage for victims of the cruel Lord's resistance army.
Okay, this is absurd.
Further, he fights whenever necessary and becomes a legend known as the Machine Gun Preacher.
How is it possible that you read that long? That synopsis is like a novel.
Yeah, I clicked on it, and it wasn't the shorter one that I hoped it was, but I had to go with it.
Let's see, the 15th or the 22nd. All right, here we go. I got a private message here from Richard Eric Jarvie right now.
Oh, here we go.
This is important stuff. Hey, I wanted to ask, if I upgrade to the $50 tier this month,
yeah,
General, it has to go through, Richard, would you be able to do my movie for my birthday, either on the 15th or the 22nd of November? He'd love to get Revenge of the Sith done.
Mm. You are the chosen one!
That's a
no-brainer. Done deal.
Problem with that is the 15th to 22nd. Maybe on the 15th we can pull it off.
We can push something else. Yeah, maybe we can make it work, dude, because you know we love you, and honestly, the amount of clippage and memes you would get to pull from you and I just reenacting that last scene would be amazing.
We could recast Jared Butler in Revenge of the Sith. This is funny that we just did the segment because I had done a bit on one of the jobs I do, guys. I work for Red Zone and Fantasy Zone. Uh-huh. And one of my producers that I work with has an affection for Nick Cage, the same as we do. So we did a whole bit. We did a whole bit recently at work where we just spoke to each other in Nick Cage's voice.
Right.
For several hours. It reminded me a lot of the Jared Butler segment we just did.
So that is that. That's what we're doing that day. If you want to switch it, we can maybe push it. So we're going to figure it out.
We're going to look into it. We're going to look into it and see what we can do. So, Jarvie, we love you. It's great. Great costume. Great suggestion. That segment was a winner. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yes.
Marissa, of all the films there, what do you think has the most appealing name?
I love, okay, good, because like sometimes Ben and I wonder if we're just dumbasses making each other laugh.
Just going off the deep end.
It makes me very happy that you were laughing, Marissa.
Oh, yeah, I was laughing too. I was enjoying that a little too much.
Has to be Machine Gun Preacher.
I did love the PS, I love you. Yeah.
It's either that, really? Come on, what about Naya and the Golden Dolphin?
That's a good one.
I've been passed over for the role of Naya, as well as the Golden Dolphin.
I've been passed on a role of both. I'm the old trainer.
But I'm a legend. But I'm a legendary trainer.
I was the first person ever to procreate with a dolphin.
Okay. Oh my God, we're dying. Okay, we're gonna move on. Okay. We're going to move on to production development and talk about how a movie this good gets made. And honestly, it's always about the team behind it, Ben.
Yes, it is.
So we've got Arnie Schmidt here, who has he's only written this and the story for 1996's Chain Reaction with Denzel and Keanu.
Wait, hang on a second. I think, keep talking. I'm going to fact check something.
What happened?
I read this in the, by the way, guys, Andrew is taking on the brunt of the prep work.
Don't say that. Don't say that, because now every time a mistake comes up.
He wrote this description. I believe that Chain Reaction doesn't have Denzel. I think it has Morgan Freeman.
Oh, wait. No, that's 100% correct. Yeah. That's what I meant to write. That's what I meant to say. I was literally watching Man on Fire when I wrote this. I was like, no, dude, I know that this is all correct. See, this is all correct.
This makes me so much happier that I didn't fact check this before and did it live on air. That's terrific.
Fuck. Ben's been taking the brunt of doing these.
The prep work.
Arnie Schmidt has written only this and the story for 1996's Chain Reaction with Denzel and Keanu. He has been a second unit or assistant director on films dating back to the 70s. So he's actually been in the business for a really, really long time. Such classics as Red Dawn with Kurt Russell. Mm. But I was actually really impressed that he was the second unit AD or the assistant director on Airplane, the original Airplane. That's a really cool thing to be a part of.
Big time, yeah.
But really, he's kind of always been a second AD or a second unit AD, which is very interesting that this is, and he wrote a movie, you know, almost 20 years later. So then you got Jamie Moss on the other side, who is a writer and actor who appeared in Catch Me If You Can as a young man. I'm trying to, I don't remember where he came in. But he's one of those guys, you know, most time when you look at a writer, you're expecting like an older looking white dude. That's
usually what
it always is. He's like a young, good looking dude in his probably late 30s, early 40s. he has a bunch of TV credits as well, and he's written the screenplay for, he loves these bad crime thrillers. So Street Kings is very bad.
Yep.
And then Hunter Killer is not great. He's writing Safe House 2. Oof. And then he wrote Ghost in the Shell, which I heard was also very bad.
Yeah,
the new one.
That one is the highest profile of these movies. I kind of can't believe that they are still making a second Safe House. That's astonishing. How's the chat doing over there?
Oh, the chat is wonderful. So I think we should have a Cage versus Cruz versus Butler now. Ben and Andrew's Jerry B are even better than the real Jerry B. This one's good. An accent off. And then we go, my favorite accent from the show is still Charlie Hunnam. When the kaiju landed in San Francisco.
Jaeger pilots were like rock stars.
It's like speaking English when you don't actually speak English.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're just saying the words.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we got Donovan Marsh. You want to take this one?
A writer and director based out of Denzel Washington who was in Chain A writer and director based out of Johannesburg, who up until Hunter Killer was always both in for feature films he worked on. Who up until Hunter Killer was always both for the feature films he worked on, writer and director.
Yeah.
His debut film was called Dollar, with a dollar sign at the end, so dollars, and White Pipes. He then worked on both Spud and Spud 2, The Madness Continues with John Cleese. He then directed a film called Avenged, a crime drama with production based in South Africa, followed that with Hunter Killer, and is now working on a film called Don't Call Me a Daughter.
So he's basically just like this weird South African, well, not weird, but he's this pretty prolific, if you want to call him that, African director that just like randomly made this movie, and then I had to put Spud and Spud 2 in. I was like super baked when I did this, as you can tell. It's like pretty hilarious. It's like you can read my thoughts. But like Spud and Spud 2 was John Cleese. Like, you know, it's a big, John Cleese is a pretty big name. He was the only really name in them.
Yeah.
But just a really weird crew, which I think is probably why you got the movie that we got. You
know,
it's just, oh, all right.
Live on the show.
Jarvie's making moves. All right, we got to salute him right now. Yeah. General Eric Jarvie. We salute you.
We salute you, General.
Looks like we gotta make it happen.
Yeah, we're gonna look at the schedule. And we'll send you a message about it. But this guy's interesting. I mean, the sad thing about directors like this is that if you are a director who is most notable for making films outside of America, and you make a bunch of movies that people kind of haven't heard of, and you come to America and you work with a big star, and you make a movie that's just kind of irrelevant, like this Hunter Killer is going to be a very irrelevant movie very quickly,
right?
You just, like, you kind of burned your shot. You get another shot because it's a big enough movie, but based on what we're going to get to with box office, I don't think he's going to get another. Like, he'll probably get one more big shot. And right. Otherwise, he's making the likes of, you know,
Donovan Marshall.
Den of Thieves 4.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so as you get into box office and critical here, I'm going to pull this up because I have all the rest of the numbers here, but the actual movies that were in front of it, there's five of them, which has never really been done before on this show. So
it should be noted really quickly before we move on. Neil Moritz is the producer. Neil Moritz is Fast and the Furious. Like, he's super-duper famous. I believe the Bourne films. Neil's like one of the bigger, more prolific directors ever, or producers ever.
Yeah, Neil H. Moritz and Alan Siegel, we've covered a lot on this show.
Yes,
the
exactly.
other producers are Jared Butler, Tucker Tooley, Mark Gill, we've covered a couple times as well.
Yeah, I'm I love that so it's... happy that we're now calling him Jared.
Yes, me too. Yeah. I was just going to say
you
that.
Did it.
Yeah.
You didn't even intentionally.
Didn't even mean to. It's just his name now.
Yeah.
So Jared here, he was in Hunter Killer. Lionsgate Summit, $40 million, released last week, October 26, 2018, for $7.2 million domestic. A whole whopping $7.2.
The thing is, and this is what happens. You dump your movies at the end of October, and in January, that's when these movies get dumped.
Right.
They get, like, I mean, movies like this, they're supposed to fill space in the late fall, early, you know, that in-between.
Exactly. It's like before award season, after summer blockbusters, before Christmas movies. So, yeah. 7.2 million didn't even get released worldwide. So that's how you know it's a B movie. That is the definition of a B movie, is it doesn't get released worldwide.
You think it'll open? I don't actually know.
I think it will. Yeah. It has to.
It'll have to open in some other territory.
Yeah, yeah.
Jared's a big enough star.
So a total gross of 7.2 behind four other movies, which are Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween in its third week, Venom in its fourth, A Star is Born in its fourth, and Halloween in its second. The next movie that opened was 12th place.
Wow.
Johnny English Strikes Again.
Oh.
$1.6 billion. Good old Rowan Atkinson.
Rowan Atkinson. Not a big Rowan Atkinson fan.
Me and my mom loved Mr. Bean growing up. Like, absolutely. Don't you fucking say that. Your face, like, said everything I ever needed. Oh, really? Your mother? Wow. Who'd have thought? A Korean woman. That loves a goofy-ass slapstick British comedy.
I didn't say a word. I saw Memento in theaters with my dad.
Oh, wow. Cool. One of the greatest crime thrillers ever. Listen, man. So getting into critical... This is ridiculous. This is actually even more ridiculous. 6.9 on IMDb, right? 34 by all critics. 42 by top.
Mm-hmm.
86 by the audience.
I mean... We are the audience.
We are having a wonderful time discussing this movie.
I wouldn't have given this film an 86%.
I would give this movie a 64. Hard.
That generous.
really. You would go in the 50s. I mean, I get it.
Let's be totally honest about how we felt about this movie.
Don't remember the end of it.
I dozed off for about 15 minutes somewhere in the final 40.
Yep.
I woke up and there was like a lone survivor fight happening with this like guy with a rifle.
Yeah, and I had to kind of fill you in, but I wasn't that... really good on filling you in.
What was happening? There was like there's like a big climax where they blow up the British or the Russian military base or something. But like the Russian government blows up their own base to kill the general.
Yeah, I remember like, oh yeah, the Russians turn on. Okay, first of all, never,
never
would happen.
Ever, ever, ever.
I remember keep doing this. I kept like leaning back with my drink and I'd take a drink and I'd just look over to the left for like 2 minutes. And I don't even know why. It was just to look at anything
other. You wanted to show Jared that you could.
I could. Paul Danuzzo.
And he looked at you from the screen and he said,
I. Good choice. Paul Danuzzo graded a 1.5 out of 5. Bassist, 1996. Rowan Atkinson is a god. You're right.
Is your mom on another account?
Shut up, Ben. Yeah, okay. So, is that it? Is that all we want to say about this?
It's all we've got. Favorite line.
Favorite line. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
They all probably happen in the first 35 minutes, knowing us. I think mine is,
you will be court-martialed.
Yeah.
And he goes, then it's my job to keep you alive long enough to testify.
Yeah, I've got that written down here as well.
Which is funny because I came later in the film.
Yeah. It was good love. It was a good line, though.
You upset that I took it?
No. I like there was a sequence early on where they like dramatically allude to his previous experience, and he's like, The guy looks at the coin when Jared first gets on the sub, and he's starting to establish himself as, like, the hero commander.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he gives him the coin, and he's like, oh, maybe he gives it to Nyquist? I can't remember who he does, but somebody's
it's Nyquist,
like,
I think.
And he's like, you are on the Wichita? And the music's, like, real dramatic. Yeah. And it's, like, totally the MacGruber line, and it's like, this is just like, or no, it's the Predator line. When he's like, this is just like blah, 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 blah. He's like, still trying to forget. Like,
right.
Like, that's one of the best things in action movies. That was a horrible retelling of that story. That's one of those things in action movies where, like, your heroes need to have gone through really traumatic stories that they only allude to dramatically. Like,
right. They're like, we don't need to talk about Mexico.
Yeah.
You know.
This is what's the line from MacGruber?
This will be just like Nicaragua. I got shot in Nicaragua. This will be nothing like
Nicaragua. Yeah.
It's not Nicaragua, though.
Fuck.
That makes me crazy that I can't actually think about it. favorite line? Okay. How many pubs are there? You take one, I'll take the other.
Yeah, that's a good one,
too.
I liked, she's not my sister, sir. Yeah, I don't even remember what it was reference to, but it's like somebody has like a... Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, good looking. There's got to be another one on here, too. Oh, no, they did. We just started war. No, but we sailed into one. That was like trying. That was one of those we always talk about. Looks really sweet on paper. Actually ended up working out okay in the film.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, everything Common says.
Everything Common says is just wonderful.
Linda Cardellini has a couple moments, I guess. I don't recall any of them.
I don't know why you keep bringing her up.
I mean, she's a female lead in the movie.
Yeah, but like they...
She's in the movie a lot. Well,
that's fair point. That's a fair point. Look, man, I don't remember this.
You don't remember that she's in it, do you? You don't know who Linda Cardellini is, do you?
If you showed me a picture of seven people and you made me pick one, I might be able to say it's Linda Cardellini.
Fair, fair. All right, moving on. Any AMA questions that we need to answer?
I'm trying to find them right now.
Terrific.
Yeah, yeah. We got I think there were some good ones in there. I know, like, submarine movies was one of them, so...
I looked at a list the other day, top 10 submarine movies.
Uh-huh.
What it made me realize is how few submarine movies there actually have been, because I knew every movie on the list.
Yeah.
Actually, one of them I didn't know, and it was like a really old movie, but like you have the ones we know, like the really famous ones.
Right.
You have Das Boot, which is like not in our genre, but it's like super famous. And then you have the bad ones that were still on the list, like U-571 and K-19 The Widowmaker.
Those are great.
I've never seen either.
Really?
Have you seen them both?
I've seen them both. That's shocking to me that you didn't watch. I mean, it's probably because you were actually watching better movies with your dad.
U-571?
No, like you were going and watching Memento while I was going and watching whatever with my mom, but then going home and watching U-571.
That's what I was
going
to say. You probably watched U-571. Have you seen K-19 also?
I've seen both of them.
Oh, wow. Do you know who directed K-19? Because that's the interesting thing, and that's why I should have seen it.
The Widowmaker? K-19, The Widowmaker?
It's a female director. Should be a good clue.
Bigelow?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we've talked about this.
I've meant to watch it for a long time. I think it's maybe the only Bigelow movie I've never seen.
And I think it's the better of the two, for sure.
Yeah, probably. I mean, like, she's a better director than whoever directed U-571.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of AMA questions. They're kind of like, you know, what are your five favorite submarine movies? We kind of just had that conversation. It's tough. Like, submarine movies are such a specific genre. And again, there's not many of them. It's like my top five probably, or my list probably includes the five that you would expect.
Yeah,
you know?
I think for me, like, I did watch Das Boot in high school, and I don't really recall needing to watch it again. For me, my favorite submarine movie is just far and away Crimson Tide. I mean, Hunt for October is really sweet, but, like, Crimson Tide, I, like more every time I go back and watch it. I just love that movie.
I do, too. And it's just because we love Denzel and Gene so much.
Yeah,
it's not about anything else. And actually, the supporting cast is great. It's just great acting.
It's also
really
cool.
Great acting and writing.
I listened to a Denzel interview recently with Bill Simmons, and it wasn't the best interview. It was fine. Like,
oh yeah, you told me about that. You said Denzel did a lot of like the like pull my string, and like I say the same thing that you'd expect me to say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like what it is what I've learned about Denzel when I've watched him do like red carpet interviews is that he's a guy who like he really likes to be the coolest, wisest dude.
Right.
Like, he likes to be that guy. That's a personality, and he's, you know, he buys into the Denzel image very much because that's what it is. Super interesting, super smart, and so a lot of what he says in this interview, and I've seen him say, he needs to be, like, really wise. Otherwise, he... You know what I mean? So, like, at one point, Bill's like, would you say that Malcolm X is the hardest, the most challenging role you've ever played? And he was like, challenging role. I'm an actor. It's not challenging. Nothing's hard about it. You know, like, you're like, okay. So, but you could acknowledge what he's asking because you know exactly what he's asking, but you don't want to.
You
want to
sound cool first.
Because you want it to be like, you're an actor. You know, there's more important things in the world. You're Denzel.
Which is so weird because it seems like Denzel being an actor for as long as he has, doing as many press junkets and just watching his co-stars as long as he has, would realize that as fans, we endear the moments being like, oh, absolutely. I mean, you get a role like that and you know, the story that comes with it, being a black man, what it's meant for you. Like, imagine that instead.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so much more wonderful.
So the reason I bring this up is because talking about Crimson Tide, when Bill asks him, like, anybody that you worked with that you still found yourself, like, you know, blown away, like starstruck almost, like you couldn't believe. And he was like, I mean, Hackman. He's like, you know, you work with Gene Hackman. I mean, he's Gene Hackman. I was thinking about that. I was like, that's the mid-90s. Like, Denzel's been in Hollywood doing his thing for about 12 years.
Hackman's
at that point.
A legend. But worked like, with everyone.
That's the same way Cruise felt when he worked with Hackman at the firm. Like, those guys in the
fucking Cruise. Newman, Hackman,
everyone. All in a row, too.
Everyone, dude.
He just, like, all in a row. He was just, like, back to back to back to back to back. But, like, you look at those guys that came up in the 80s. Like, they were in their 20s in the 80s. And so the De Niro's and Pacino's and Hackman's and Nicholson's of the world had all been famous at that point for 20 years. They were kind of defining what the male, like, modern actor was. And so these guys that now are, like, getting old, like, Denzel's, like, in his 60s. Cruise is going to be 60 soon. Yeah. Like,
I almost just went, why haven't Cruise and Nicholson? And then I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the greatest scenes ever.
Of all time.
Yeah, of all time.
So rewatchable. It's
Which
crazy.
Is why you, it's like, you just, yeah. God, great actors. Movie star charisma. On movie star charisma, on superstardom, on top of being confident, is just like, give me the best fucking scenes I've ever seen in my life.
We should do A Few Good Men on the show.
Oh, I'd love to.
We could.
We also should do Leon the Professional, since we talk about it a lot. We've never done. There's a lot of good movies. Yeah. I'm really excited for the pitch today. Do you know what it is? Do you remember? Don't look. We'll get there.
Okay.
Let's do the categories.
Okay. There are three action movie categories to choose from. Those action movie categories are totally legitimate, ridiculously legitimate, and totally ridiculous. We've described them plenty of times. Movies that make you laugh that are silly, like Con Air and Face Off. Movies that are totally awesome, but have a lot of legitimacy that hold them together, like The Rock and Point Break and Predator. And then movies that are totally legitimate, like, you know, Gladiator,
Lone Survivor. Yeah.
So which category?
It's totally ridiculous.
Like, which category does Hunt a Killer fit into, sir?
We're all going to lean back a little farther. Okay, stop. And now lean forward. Good. Good acting.
Excellent take.
Yeah.
That's a wrap. That's lunch.
That's a wrap. That's lunch, boys. It's totally ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous.
There's not one moment, the blowing up, Russia killing itself to save America, really, right now.
Great trailer,
though. That's how you know this movie was made 2 years ago.
You know what would be a fun special for us to do on the show at some point is ranking the trailers of the films we've covered.
Oh, my God.
Like doing a top 10 trailers of AMA episode.
Oh, cool, down. We should do it on Patreon.
Yeah. That's a fun one.
That's a good one.
It'll take some time.
And editing.
Yeah.
We've got one of those.
We've got an editor.
all right. So that means there's only one thing left, Ben.
That's called The Pitch. What do we got here? Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Guys, we got a big movie coming up for you this next week. It's a little movie we like to call Fight Club.
The first movie we have Fight Club is Don't Talk About Fight. No one talks like that.
No one talks
like that once.
No, but it's perhaps the coolest movie of our generation.
Oh, do you remember the first time you watched this movie?
Yeah, mind blown.
I didn't see it in theaters. Did you?
I did.
So I didn't see it in theaters, and I remember just rewinding that 10-minute section.
Yeah.
Like, five times.
Which part?
The part where it shows Ed going through all the things that
Durden
did. His conversations with Marla and going in and out of, like, fighting himself in the parking lot. Like, even just talking about it right now, it gives me chills. It was one of those things back then you didn't really realize, and that's why Fincher and Nolan kind of exploded onto the scene at the time, was like, I'm going to mind fuck you. And it's not going to be, you're not going to really know what's going on. And then all at the end, it's all going to come together. And I'm going to feel like you learned something today.
I'm excited for next week. We did this on our Patreon like 5 months ago, but we will do a top David Fincher movie section.
Yeah.
Because I've watched all of them. I watched every movie that he's ever done recently. And I had seen them all, but I like watched them again so I could get comfortable with like my opinion. And I think you should watch this movie. I also think you should watch Social Network this week. I think you should make an effort
That's
to watch
fair.
It.
That's fair. I can do that.
Because I think it'll give a good frame of reference. I know you've seen Seven a ton of times. You saw Zodiac kind of recently.
I've seen them all a lot. Arena, yes. Arena just blew up in our chat. Arena has asked us to do this movie for
a long
years.
Time, yeah.
We're doing it for you, girl. We're doing it for the whole Action Army. And honestly, we love Fincher.
This is going to be a great episode. So guys, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to follow along with what we're doing, you can find us personally at Andrew Guy and Ben Bateman Media on Twitter. Be sure to join the Facebook fan page. We have a Facebook fan page for this, as well as the Action Army, which is our team action personalities in the Schmodown. And I think that's pretty much the whole bit.
I think that's it. Yeah. So we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network.